Chapter 16. By this battle, the war with the Veneti and the whole of the sea coast was finished. And all too of more advanced age, in whom there was any discretion or rank, had assembled in that battle, and they had collected in one place whatever naval forces they had anywhere. And when these were lost, the survivors had no place to retreat to, nor means of defending their towns. They accordingly surrendered themselves and all their possessions to Kaiser, on whom Kaiser thought that punishment should be inflicted the more severely, in order that for the future the rights of ambassadors should be more carefully respected by barbarians. Having therefore put to death all their senate, he sold the rest for slaves. Chapter 27. While these things are going on amongst the Veneti, Q. Titurius Sabinus, with those troops which he had received from Kaiser, arrives in the territories of the Unelli. Over these people, Viridovix ruled, and held the chief command of all those states which had revolted, from which he had collected a large and powerful army. And in those few days, the Alerci and the Sexovi, having slain their senate because they would not consent to be promoters of the war, shut their gates against us and united themselves to Viridovix. A great multitude besides of desperate men and robbers assembled out of Gaul from all quarters, whom the hope of plundering and the love of fighting had called away from husbandry and their daily labor. Sabinus kept himself within his camp, which was in a position convenient for everything, while Viridovix encamped over against him at a distance of 2 miles, and daily bringing out his forces gave him an opportunity for fighting, so that Sabinus had now not only come into contempt with the enemy, but also was somewhat taunted by the speeches of our soldiers, and furnished so great a suspicion of his cowardice that the enemy presumed to approach even to the very rampart of our camp. He adopted this conduct for the following reason: because he did not think that a lieutenant ought to engage in battle with so great a force, especially while he who held the chief command was absent, except on advantageous ground, or some favorable circumstance presented itself. Chapter 28. After having established this suspicion of his cowardice, he selected a certain suitable and crafty Gaul, who was one of those whom he had with him as auxiliaries. He induces him by great gifts and promises to go over to the enemy, and informs him of what he wished to be done, who, when he arrives amongst them as a deserter, lays before them the fears of the Romans, and informs them by what difficulties Kaiser himself was harassed, and that the matter was not far removed from this, that Sabinus would the next night privately draw off his army out of the camp and set forth to Kaiser, for the purpose of carrying him assistance, which, when they heard, they all cry out together that an opportunity of successfully conducting their enterprise ought not to be thrown away, that they ought to go to the Roman camp. Many things persuaded the Gauls to this measure: the delay of Sabinus returning the previous days, the positive assertion of the pretended deserter, want of provisions, for a supply of which they had not taken the prerequisite precautions, the hope springing from the Venetic War, and also because in most cases men willingly believe what they wish. Influenced by these things, they do not discharge Viridovix and the other leaders from the council before they gain permission from them to take up arms and hasten to our camp, which, being granted, rejoicing as if victory were fully certain, they collected faggots and brushwood with which to fill up the Roman trenches and hasten to the camp. Chapter 19. The situation of the camp was a rising ground, gently sloping from the bottom for about a mile. Thither they proceeded with great speed, in order that as little time as possible might be given to the Romans to collect and arm themselves, and arrived quite out of breath. Sabinus, having encouraged his men, gives them the signal, which they earnestly desired. While the enemy were encumbered by reason of the burdens which they were carrying, he orders a sally to be suddenly made from 2 gates of the camp. It happened, by the advantage of situation, by the unskillfulness and the fatigue of the enemy, by the valor of our soldiers, and their experience in former battles, that they could not stand one attack of our men, and immediately turned their backs. And our men, with full vigor, followed them while disordered, and slew a great number of them. The horse, pursuing the rest, left but few, who escaped by flight. Thus, at the same time, Sabinus was informed of the naval battle, and Kaiser of victory gained by Sabinus, and all the states immediately surrendered themselves to Titurius, for as the temper of the Gauls is impetuous and ready to undertake wars, So their mind is weak, and by no means resolute in enduring calamities. Chapter 20. About the same time, P. Crassus, when he had arrived in Aquitania, which, as has been before said, both from its extent of territory and the great number of its people, is to be reckoned a third part of Gaul, understanding that he was to wage war in these parts, where a few years before L. Valerius Preconius, the lieutenant, had been killed and his army routed, and from which M. Manilius, the proconsul, had fled with the loss of his baggage, he perceived that no ordinary care must be used by them. Wherefore, having provided corn, procured auxiliaries and cavalry, and having summoned by name many valiant men from Tolosa, Carcasso, and Narbo, which are the states of the province of Gaul that border on these regions, Aquitania, he led his army into the territories of the Sotiates. On his arrival being known, the Sotiates, having brought together great forces and much cavalry, in which their strength principally lay, and assailing our army on the march, engaged first in a cavalry action. Then, when their cavalry was routed, and our men pursuing, they suddenly display their infantry forces, which they had placed in ambuscade in a valley. These attacked our men well disordered, and renewed the fight. Chapter 21. The battle was long and vigorously contested, since the Sotiates, relying on their former victories, imagined that the safety of the whole of Aquitania rested on their valor, and our men, on the other hand, desired it might be seen what they could accomplish without their general and without the other legions, under a very young commander. At length, the enemy, worn out with wounds, began to turn their backs, and a great number of them being slain, Crassus began to besiege the principal town of the Sotiates on his march. Upon their valiantly resisting, he raised Vinniae in turrets. They, at one time attempting a sally, at another forming mines to our rampart and Vinniae, at which the Aquitani are eminently skilled, because in many places amongst them there are copper mines, when they perceived that nothing could be gained by these operations, through the perseverance of our men, they send ambassadors to Crassus, and entreat him to admit them to a surrender. Having obtained it, they, being ordered to deliver up their arms, comply. Chapter 22. And while the attention of our men is engaged in that matter, in another part, Adcantanus, who held the chief command, with 600 devoted followers, whom they call soldurii, the conditions of whose association are these, that they enjoy all the conveniences of life with those to whom friendship they have devoted themselves. If anything calamitous happened to them, either they endure the same destiny together with them, or commit suicide. Nor, hitherto, in the memory of men, has there been found any one who, upon his being slain to those friendship he has devoted himself, refused to die. Adcantuanus, I say, endeavoring to make a sally with these, when our soldiers had rushed together to arms, upon a shout being raised at the part of the fortification, and a fierce battle had been brought there, was driven back into the town. Yet he obtained from Crassus the indulgence that he should enjoy the same terms of surrender as the other inhabitants. Chapter 23. Crassus, having received their arms and hostages, marched into the territories of the Vocates and the Tarsates. But then, the barbarians being alarmed, because they had heard that a fortified town by the nature of the place and the art had been taken by us in a few days after our arrival there, began to send ambassadors into all quarters, to combine, to give hostages one to another, to raise troops. Ambassadors are also sent to those states of hither Spain which are nearest to Aquitania, and auxiliaries and leaders are summoned from them, on whose arrival they proceed to carry on the war with great confidence, and with a great host of men. They who had been with Q. Sertorius the whole period of his war in Spain, and were supposed to have very great skill in military matters, are chosen leaders. These, adopting the practice of the Roman people, began to select advantageous places to fortify their camp, to cut off our men from provisions, which when Crassus observes, and likewise that his forces, on account of their small number, could not safely be separated, that the enemy both made excursions and beset the passes, and yet left a sufficient guard for their camp. That on that account, corn and provision could not very conveniently be brought up to him, and that the number of the enemy was daily increased. He thought that he ought not to delay in giving battle. This matter being brought to a council, when he discovered that all thought the same thing, he appointed the next day for the fight. Chapter 24. Having drawn out all his forces at the break of day and marshaling them in a double line, he posted the auxiliaries in the center and waited to see what measures the enemy would take. They, although on account of their great number and their ancient renown in war, and the small number of our men, they supposed they might safely fight. They nevertheless considered it safer to gain the victory without any wound, by besetting the passes and cutting off the provisions. And if the Romans, on account of the want of corn, should begin to retreat, they intended to attack them while encumbered in their march and depressed in spirit, as being assailed while under baggage. This measure being approved of by the leaders and the forces of the Romans drawn out, the enemy still kept themselves in their camp. Crassus, having remarked this circumstance, since the enemy, intimidated by their own delay and by the reputation, i.e. for cowardice arising thence, had rendered our soldiers more eager for fighting, and the remarks of all were heard, declaring that no longer ought delay to be made in going to the camp, after encouraging his men, he marches to the camp of the enemy, to the great gratification of his own troops. Chapter 25. There, while some were filling up the ditch, and others, by throwing a large number of darts, were driving the defenders from the rampart and fortifications, and the auxiliaries, on whom Crassus did not much rely in the battle, by supplying stones and weapons to the soldiers, and by conveying turf to the mound, presented the appearance and character of men engaged in fighting. While also the enemy were fighting resolutely and boldly, and their weapons, discharged from their higher position, fell with great effect, the horse, having gone round the camp of the enemy, reported to Crassus that the camp was not fortified with equal care on the side of the Decuman gate, and had an easy approach. Chapter 26. Crassus, having exhorted the commanders of the horse to animate their men by great rewards and promises, points out to them what he wished to have done. They, as they had been commanded, having brought out the four cohorts, which, as they had been left as a guard for the camp, were not fatigued by exertion, and having led them round by a somewhat longer way, lest they could be seen from the camp of the enemy, when the eyes and minds of all were intent upon the battle, quickly arrived at those fortifications which we have spoken of, and, having demolished these, stood in the camp of the enemy before they were seen by them, or it was known what was going on. And then, a shout being heard in that quarter, our men, their strength having been recruited, which usually occurs on the hope of victory, began to fight more vigorously. The enemy, surrounded on all sides, and all their affairs being despaired of, made great attempts to cast themselves down over the ramparts and to seek safety in flight. These the cavalry pursued over the very open plains, and after leaving scarcely a fourth part out of the number of 50,000, which it was certain had assembled out of Aquitania and from the Cantabri, returned late at night to the camp. Chapter 27. Having heard of this battle, the greatest part of Aquitania surrendered itself to Crassus, and of its own accord sent hostages, in which number were the Tarbelli, the Bigerones, the Pricani, the Vocasatis, the Tyrusatis, the Elurates, the Garites, the Ausci, the Garumni, the Sibuzatis, and Cocosatis. A few, and those most remote nations, relying on the time of the year, because winter was at hand, neglected to do this. Chapter 28. About the same time Caesar, although the summer was nearly past, yet since, all Gaul being reduced, the Morini and the Menapi alone remained in arms, and had never sent ambassadors to him to make a treaty of peace, speedily led his army thither, thinking that that war might soon be terminated. They resolved to conduct the war on a very different method from the rest of the Gauls, for as they perceived that the greatest nations of Gaul who had engaged in war had been routed and overcome, and as they possessed continuous ranges of forests and morasses, they removed themselves and all their property thither. When Caesar had arrived at the opening of these forests and had begun to fortify his camp, and no enemy was in the meantime seen, while our men were dispersed on their respective duties, they suddenly rushed out from all parts of the forest and made an attack on our men. The latter quickly took up arms and drove them back again to their forests, and having killed a great many, lost a few of their own men while pursuing them too far through those intricate places. Chapter 29. During the remaining days after this, Kaiser began to cut down the forests, and that no attack might be made on the flank of the soldiers, while unarmed and not foreseeing it, he placed together, opposite to the army, all that timber which was cut down, and piled it up as a rampart on either flank. When a great space has been, with incredible speed, cleared in a few days, when the cattle of the enemy in the rear of their baggage train were already seized by our men, and they themselves were seeking for the thickest parts of the forest, storms of such a kind came on that the work was necessarily suspended, and through the continuance of the rains, the soldiers could not any longer remain in their tents. Therefore, laying waste to all the country, and having burnt their villages and houses, Kaiser led back his army and stationed them in winter quarters among the Aulerci and Lexovii, and the other states which had made war upon him last.